We are blessed this morning to have Bob and Judy with us. Bob and Judy Kay have been serving the Lord across the planet in different locations, doing different things for His glory, building His kingdom. They now currently live in Virginia and are serving there, and they're going to give us a brief update on what's happening there in Virginia. And then also they're going to be available during fellowship and then after small groups for a meal if you want to hang around and just get to know them better and talk. So we welcome you, and we're looking forward to hearing what God's doing in your life. Bob.
Thank you, Mark. By the way, that's a tough act to follow. Praise the Lord for those kids. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. My dad was in the hospital. I saw him laying in the bed, and I thought, Bob, you've got to come home. And I am sure that was God calling me. You see, the Word of God says, honor your father and mother because that's the first commandment with promise. And so God called us back home, called me and Judy back home to Virginia. Now, it was a little tough for Judy because she is a Texas woman. She was born and bred, you know, born in Texas, okay? But we came back home. We left our ministry. We resigned from our ministry in Texas. The Lord enabled us to finish that well. And we started working with a Spanish church in Virginia while caring for Dad. The short of it is, God has enabled us to grow from 22 to 40 in a year's time. I serve as an assistant to the pastor, who, by the way, does not speak Spanish. Figure that one out. Ask me afterwards, okay? And so he allowed me to begin preaching a series on Philippians, and I was able to preach an expository series through the book of Philippians over a year's period, for which I praise the Lord for that opportunity because I learned so, so much. Judy began a women's ministry, and because of that, she's up to 8 women, including one that she counsels who came from a dysfunctional family. Maria is growing in the Lord and really beginning to show signs of serving in the church because of Judy's mentorship, for which I praise the Lord. I've mentioned expository sermons. When we were in the Dominican Republic years ago, God gave us the opportunity to start a Bible school, and we emphasized expository preaching of the Word. We also talked about passing the baton, in other words, training the next generation so that they can become elders and pastors in the church. We also emphasize discipleship, and we emphasize servant leadership. And of course, in the Dominican Republic, that is countercultural, especially among men. Well, we had about 5 Bible schools, or five Bible churches that, well, you know, our little group embraced those concepts. We had the privilege of returning to the Dominican Republic last month. And the pastor that we were visiting, who was in that class, he took me to a pastor's meeting in Santiago. There are now 30 pastors embracing those concepts. I could not believe it. So, brothers and sisters, please, it's because of you that we serve at the Ladysmith Spanish Church. It's because of you that we've been able to share those concepts, and now these concepts are taking root, not only in the Bible churches of Santiago, but also in other churches. It's going cross-denominationally. No, I still, okay, it's all right. You know what I mean. Sorry. It's crossing denominations, and as a result, men are being equipped to shepherd and nurture their people in the Word of God. And it's because of you that we can share that. We can share in that work. So while we continue to serve at Ladysmith, we will visit the Dominican Republic from time to time and continue to do what we can to encourage those concepts and that ministry. Thank you so much for your help. May God bless you as you serve him.
There's a prayer list attached to your Friday highlights. We'd ask you to keep praying. It's a powerful ministry. Pastor Jesse's grandmother, Fran, is going through a difficult time. He would welcome your prayers for her and their family, as there's multiple layers of need there. Paul Mauger, someone that we also support in the mission field, grew up here. He's having a heart cath on Tuesday. We want to pray for that to go well and for a great diagnosis. And we want to pray, too, just a prayer of blessing over the ministry that's happening through the K's. It's so good, I imagine, to go back to where you served and see the church doing well and thriving. Thank you, God, for that. And thank you, God, for what he's doing here. Some of the things that Bob mentioned as critical points of preaching the word and generational faith and servant leadership, I believe are actively happening here, and we're raising up people to serve the Lord wherever he calls them to go. So we praise God for he's doing that around the world in many ways, in different places, and he's worthy of our praise in that. So Jesus is countercultural, isn't he not? Following Jesus, we are to be countercultural. I'm going to ask you to consider the concept of joy. And as we pray for the message and for our congregation, give a space in there just for you to kind of ask Jesus to ready your heart and your mind to think about how you might be countercultural in the experience of joy. Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for the day. We praise you for it. It's a gift from you. Thank you for the chance to sing together. Your grace is amazing. It's beyond what we can understand. Your love. And that lyric in that line which says, I can see your eyes. Lord, we pray for a nearness of your presence, Lord. And if we can look into our Creator's eyes, if we can look into our Savior's eyes and the Lord of all creation, and yet in one sense, he's looking at us. He knows all people throughout all time and history, and yet he knows us in this moment. Lord, you see our hearts and our minds. You see our yesterday, and you know where we're going, Lord. And yet there's a real sense of our response to you in this moment. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds just to you and your love and the fruit that you can bear in us, oh God, as we yield to you, as we surrender to you, as we trust you. And Lord, I want to pray just for my brothers and sisters here and in this room and those that will watch this video that we would give space as we hear this right now, just to invite you, Lord, to teach us and lead us into joy. Father, I know I want to be a man that reflects Jesus, and I believe in reflecting Jesus. Joy would be a part of that the world would see. I believe that's what you want the church also to reflect. Reflect all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, but joy is right there. Help us, Lord, to reflect you to the world. And in doing so, Lord, we continue on by telling them the reason why we have this joy and why we have a living hope. It's because of you, Jesus. So thank you for your work here among us. Thank you for what you're doing through Bob and Judy. Lord, we pray for healing over the loss of their parents as they grieve, Lord. We pray that you would comfort them and minister them in their grief. And Lord, that also you would, just as you're doing, I believe you're doing that you're showing, Lord, fruit as for through their obedience. May it be so, Lord. Even multiply even more, Lord, your presence in their work, that lives would be changed for your glory. We pray that around here, Lord. We thank you for those who are serving our children and youth. We pray for those ministries, Lord. We pray you continue to pour your word into them and they would see Christ active in us, shaping us, transforming us, helping us, Lord, to live for your glory and for your will. We pray for Pastor Jesse's grandmother, Fran. Lord, we pray for healing in all levels of that physical, spiritual, emotional. We pray that over the family, Lord, that you would do more than what could be imagined through this, through her relationship with her husband and through the children. Lord, we pray that you would be working for good. We pray for faith there, and we pray that you would just help Pastor Jesse know what his role is in this process beyond prayer, Lord. So give him strength, give him wisdom as he navigates this season with them. And we pray too for our loved ones and our family, Lord. There's all kinds of needs going on here in this group of people. We pray, Lord, that you would be present. And as we pray to you, as we lean into you, Lord, as we walk through the trials of this world and the celebrations of this world, Lord, we would just know that you're there and that you've got a bright future for us and that you're present with us. Your word tells us that you'll never leave us or forsake us and that, Lord, you will be with us to the very end of the age. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your word preserved for us that we look into this morning, that we can know you more, Lord, and go after your kingdom. So, Lord, use me, an imperfect man, imperfect messenger, to bring about a message that builds faith and hope and, Lord, produces joy as your presence is with us. We pray this in Christ's holy and matchless name. Amen and amen. I invite you to turn into your Bible with me. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. I came across a quote from C.S. Lewis that fits well with what we're going at for the next few weeks. It was in his letters to Malcolm, chiefly on prayer. He concludes a statement that he makes with this phrase: "Joy is the serious business of heaven." I'm going to tell you right now up front that there are some things that Jesus said in this passage. There's some that quote in itself. I can't say I have it squared completely, full understanding. I'm going to just put that out there for you. And I think when we read this passage together and you look at this, it's going to also invite you into meditating and contemplating this. And we're going to wrestle with this over a number of weeks. The series based upon the scripture is going to be called, "Is Our Joy Complete?" Is our joy complete? You'll understand why when I read the text. Today, the sermon title is "Jesus is Offering Joy." Jesus is offering joy to us. John 15 is the text you're looking for. It's 9 to 13. Next week, we're going to look at just a chapter over the disciples experiencing grief. So the sermon title is "Joy is Not Alone." It's not the only emotion that you're going to experience as we walk through this world. But that's not going to shake us from experiencing joy and going after complete joy. And then finally, we're going to look into the book of Philippians. Bob, we're going to read Philippians 1, and because Philippians and joy and rejoicing is a big part of the text in Philippians, joy among the church. So what comes to mind when you hear the word joy? First of all, is it a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. Let's just start there. If you're like, "Oh, gosh, I just had way too much joy today. Can't handle this." Joy. It's a good thing. We think of a positive attitude, pleasant emotion, delight. some words associated with joy, or maybe levels, as my Bible dictionary, and I don't know about levels of joy, but gladness, contentment, and cheerfulness. And for me to understand joy and to kind of wrap and marinate in that, I also think about the opposite of joy, which we would go after things like misery, despair, sadness, sorrow. Joy, as in the Bible, is used a lot. It's one of the things, I've already referred to it numerous times, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God as he transforms us to kingdom of heaven living. It's not the only fruit of the Spirit, but it's there in the list. You know the list. Joy or rejoice is found often in scriptures. If I give you a text, can you think about what statement of joy is made there? Let's just try it. This is not a quiz. It's just an invitation. And this is rhetorical, meaning don't say it out loud, because you might embarrass yourself. I don't know. Or me. Luke 2:10. There's a statement there from angels about joy. You know what it is? I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. That's announcing Jesus coming to earth, right? Great joy for all the people. Now, Bob has a corner on this since he preached this whole book of Philippians. Philippians 4:4, Paul says to the church in Philippi, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Luke 15. There's a joy component in Luke 15. Do you know what those passages are about? There's several parables. The concept is things that were lost being found. All right? There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. The parable of the prodigal son. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He's lost and found. So joy is found throughout the Bible. It's a message of joy. It's about a message of God rescuing and bringing from lust and brokenness to life and to vitality. So today's scripture, it offers a word of encouragement. Let me just put it into a couple places. For dads and moms and grandparents. If you're a dad or a mom or a grandparent, would you raise your hand? I got almost everyone. Yes. Yes. You are influencing your children for the kingdom. Jesus is offering joy to parents so the kids can see it, how it looks like in real life. And grandparents. Today's scripture has a message of encouragement for the church. If you're a part of the church that's founded upon Jesus' death and resurrection, raise your hand. All who believe should raise their hands here. Okay, so I caught a lot of you. This message today is to sharpen our witness to the world. Jesus is offering the church joy as evidence of much fruit for the Father's glory, showing ourselves to be Jesus' disciples. Joy, joy. And finally, today's word from the scripture offers a pathway to practical living that invites us to daily participate in joyful living. Jesus is offering us his joy. Would you like to hear where this comes from? Oh, daggone it. Daggone it. Yes! I'm leaning forward. I'm pressing in. All right, well, here, let's let the word convict you. John chapter 15. Now, the context is Jesus is preparing his disciples to move. He's preparing to leave them. Right? John 13, we had the Last Supper, we had the feet washing. John 14, he's with them and they move out. They're moving to the Gethsemane where to praying. And he's teaching these things. And we pick up Jesus' pronouncing that he's the true vine at verse 9. And he says to his disciples, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. If we can go to the next slide up there, it's on there. Okay. Verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I want to try to just flesh out some of these things to you. And again, I'll confess that it's a work in progress for me to understand these teachings of Jesus and the application of them. But let's wrestle with it together today and over the next few weeks. Let's talk first about Jesus' joy in us. He's talking to these men that he spent years with. And he's preparing to leave them. And I just see, like that song, the look in his eyes. I see the look in his eyes. He's looking at them and he says, I've told you this. When we get to that so that my joy may be in you. That phrase alone has just wrapped me into contemplating that Jesus' love is great. It's great. He wants us to rest and experience his joy. If we back up and understand the context, Jesus in John 15, he's talking about himself being the true source of life. He states that he is the true vine. The vine is an imagery of throughout scripture that they use to refer to Israel. The Jewish disciples grew up hearing how Israel was the vine, but somehow Israel remained lacking. Jesus proclaimed, I am the true vine. It was a change of thinking for the Jewish disciples. It was countercultural. They have to change their thinking on this. Jesus is greater than the law, greater than Israel. The true vine, the Son of God who took on flesh, was passing on departing instructions. And it was important content so that his joy could be in them. Aren't you intrigued by that statement? There are some questions that raise in my mind about that. Do these words encourage you to consider your experience of joyful living? I read these words and meditated upon Jesus sharing them to his disciples during this pivotal, stressful time in their lives, and I just marvel at his heart of love for them. They would need Jesus' joy to rejoice amidst suffering and to be faithful to the point of death, as they all experienced persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the world knows a form of joy, and the world wants this concept. The world really does. They're looking for this contentedness, this pleasure, this happiness. The world's looking for it. Many times the world's happiness would better suit, the word happiness would better suit the world's reaction to their experience of good things. And happiness is, how do we say happiness different than joy? Happiness is temporary based upon situational things. Some of you may be happy tomorrow night when the Eagles play. Some of you may not, all right, depending on the outcome and how what things go on. Some of you are happy based on the weather or not, or things in your life. Joy seems to be different than that. It's deeper, it's more complex. Joy, the joy that Jesus is offering, it's able to be experienced in any situation because of God's presence, his character, and his accomplished work. So let's try to understand this. To understand Jesus' joy in us, let's first think, like, what Jesus, how are you experiencing joy? Where is this coming from? Do you give us any hints to that in this passage? And I think he does. Jesus explains his joy, describing how he was loved by the Father. He begins this part by saying, as the Father has loved me, as the Father has loved him. He experienced love from his Father, and he has joy from that. Think about how Jesus experienced love from the Father. It points to relational intimacy. Jesus also experienced and got everything he needed from his Father, provision from his Father. Jesus expressed, he heard words of affirmation from his Father. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he also had a purpose given to him by his Father. I've came to do his will, not my will, but your will be done. All these things help us explain Jesus' joy. The text also tells us about Jesus' joy, that he remained in his Father's love by his faithful response of keeping his commands. Jesus consistently, day after day, was mindful of the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, he lived there with God, right, for eternity past, until that was broken when he came to earth and lived here. But it wasn't like he didn't bring heaven along. Mark tells us that Jesus came and he brought heaven near. The concepts of the kingdom of heaven, right, which is purity, which is light, which is truth, which is God's presence, Jesus brought that here. At once it was already here in the garden before it was sinned, and then there was separation. But now Jesus is working to restore that by coming and taking on flesh on earth. He's coming here to push back against the culture of the ways of earth. His default residence is heaven. Jesus, day after day, lived out those principles. He remained in the Father's will and love. That's how joy is produced in Jesus. So I looked at those and I wrestled with those and I came up with a statement. You can try it out. We can test this. We can think about it. We can meditate on it. But let's listen to this verse. Joy is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Two things: through a loving relationship with God, and through faithful response to God. Joy. It's not complex, but it is. If someone tries to experience joy and get complete joy without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it's lacking. If we try to get joy in our life, the joy of Jesus, but we're not faithfully responding to the kingdom and his call in our life, and we're just kind of living however we want, no. Jesus wants us to experience his joy, the same joy he experiences with the Father. Jesus has reflected, he shared the Father's love with the disciples, and he's asking them to respond to his commands. Jesus just takes the pattern, the thing that he experienced with the Father, and he just moves it down to next level to the disciples. So, Romans 15:13, this is a benediction in the letter of Paul we wrote to Rome. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." All right, Jesus' joy in us. I hope that you're intrigued to say, yes, sign me up for that. Sign me up for that. Of all the pleasantry, the kindness, the gladness, the contentedness of this world and what it can offer, I'd say nothing compares to the joy of Jesus. So I invite you to reflect upon Jesus' statement, "so that my joy may be in you." I think it speaks volumes of his desire for us to be well, to be alive in him, and to reflect the kingdom standard of joy. Don't you? Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's Jesus' joy in us. Now, the next phrase, "your joy complete." He says, "I say these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Complete. Complete joy. Again, that's a head scratcher for me. And maybe it points to maturity. Maybe it points to other things. We're going to try to flesh it out here. So jump on board here with me. Again, wrapping our minds around it. So Jesus in this text today reminds us that his heavenly Father loved him, the Father loved the Son, and that Jesus kept the Father's commands and reminded and remained in his love. He did those things so that our joy may be complete. The "so that" refers to both. My joy may be in you and that my joy may be complete. So what does it mean to have completeness in regard to having or experiencing joy? I don't know that you've thought about that a lot. I don't know that I've thought about that a lot, other than I want joy. What is completeness of joy? Well, that phrase is used a few times in scriptures. I'm going to flush a few of them out for you just to help develop this mindset of what complete joy is. Hebrews 12:2-3. This is a text describing Jesus. "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Listen, "for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." All right, so what does that tell us about Jesus is that he was anticipating joy in the future. Future joy, potential joy. Joy set before him means it wasn't experienced yet. It's out there. I think it could mean this. I think it's for Jesus. It could mean joy, joy found in completing his mission. Don't you know that Jesus knew he had to go to the cross? Right? I'm going to go. I'm on the path to completing this mission. I'm going there. There's joy found in that. Secondly, joy found in the possibilities of relationship with all who would receive him. Because I complete the task that the Father has for me, there are others, millions, that will be blessed around the world because they come to know me through me doing that. And I can know them. I think also, as the context suggests in Hebrews, that there is joy found in returning to the Father. Complete joy. So, here's one concept about it. Finding completeness and joy, it's a forward-thinking motivator that's fueled by living for God's will and anticipating the blessings of what is to come. Do you want Jesus told the things about his relationship to the Father so that his joy may be in us and that his joy may be complete if we, as his followers, do those two things. We live fueled, living for God's will, and anticipating the blessings of what is to come. And that screams to me that we shouldn't be overwhelmed by the temporary, that we should be mindful of what God's will is for us as followers of Christ, and know that there's a bright future coming for us. And there's blessings in the temporary for people around us as you do what you're supposed to do as a follower of Christ. Complete joy. We're wrapping our minds around what is this? What's your joy complete in us, Jesus? Here's another text, 1 John 1:4. Now, the joy statement is clear at the end of this one, so hang in there. My brother told me don't speak so fast. I guess that's a tendency when I get excited. 1 John 1:4. That was that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. He's referring to Jesus. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was the Father, which was with the Father, and it's appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, here it is. We write this to make our joy complete. John writes this, or some translations, some manuscripts have your joy complete. We write this to make our joy or your joy complete. His writing, his account, his relationship, his testimony of how he's seen and touched and heard Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and then pushing it out to others is a part of making his joy complete. It reminds me of that potential for us. And it reminds me that that is a part of our joy, being complete. It may also be a diagnosis of why our joy is incomplete. Why am I so lacking in joy? Well, you're not telling anyone else about Jesus Christ. You're not fully stepping into the calling that he has for his followers. It reminds me of the commission Jesus gave to his disciples. Go and make other disciples. Teach them, baptize them, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So engaging that process and seeing that process influence your sphere, your family, your team, your neighbors, meet Jesus is a part of complete joy. I invite you into that as the Spirit leads you. We write this so that our joy may be complete. Here's one more. James 1, 2 and 4. This one's a little harder. It fits with our message from last week. This is how some people in the world can be joyful, even as they're being persecuted greatly in the name of Christ. James writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Finding joy through trials as faith equips you, empowers you to preserve as a part of complete joy. It was so for the early church. Following of Christ was not the way of the land. Many gave their life and went unto considerable persecution, and yet they found joy. For Abraham, the joy included following God to a land that he would show him. It included remaining hopeful for a son. It included offering that very son in obedience as God asked. For Mary, the mother of Jesus, the joy complete included saying, I am the Lord's servant. It included raising Jesus. It included encouraging him to help the wedding parents in a time of need. It included accompanying her son to the cross and then celebrating his resurrection. So this is what I think I'm going to try to make a statement or two about this joy complete type thing. Jesus' teaching about discipleship reminds me of this. He says, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves. And one of the Gospels says, deny themselves daily. Pick up their cross and follow me. And the analogy that I will use to help me wrap my mind around it and to you is the difference between a measuring cup versus the testimony of a faithful journey versus Jesus. I sometimes think that this complete joy is something that I just need to add a few more ingredients to my measuring cup for the recipe and I'll be good. I just need to do this or this or this in this and then I'll have complete joy. The measuring cup analogy is faulty. A better analogy is a testimony of life, a daily experience that goes forward. And you remember then how God was faithful and worked through all the things that you've gone through. A better analogy to look at and to analyze and get after complete joy is to say, like, man, God, what have you done? And what are you doing through my life? And what's ahead of me as I'm faithful to you? Complete joy, I don't think, will be accomplished until we reach the end of the line and then eventually go to be when faith becomes sight. Oh, the last point is, how do we live it out? The joy experience. So we've done two things so far. Let's pause. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm telling you this so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. And we said, that's a good thing. And I think we're hearing that maybe we're lacking some in that. I know I am. I want more of Jesus' joy. I want it every day. I want you to have it every day. I want the church to have it every day because it is a testimony of God's presence and his goodness and his power in us. Psalm 34:14 states, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The experience of joy or any other fruit of the Spirit is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you to stay in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not produce his fruit in us if we resist him and participate freely with sin. The fruit of the Spirit will not flow from your life from a passive approach. I'm just waiting for the fruit to emerge. I'm marinating. I'm just waiting for it to pop out. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying we don't manufacture the fruit of God. He does it. But we submit and we say, yes, I am willing. Please work powerfully in me because I know I can't do it myself. Otherwise, we would say, yes, we're overflowing with love, joy, peace, etc. The experience of joy or the things of heaven begins with God and works in us as we submit, as we turn to him for life, as we trust in him. Is there joy in your life? What might be hindering the daily experience of joy? Holy Spirit, produce joy in us so that we might be like Jesus and reflect him to the world. For you and me to experience joy, lasting joy, we must be daily involved with the Father's love, Jesus' love, and loving others like Jesus loved you. There's practical engagement to experiencing joy. Jesus says, I have told you this. That means those things are important, right? So that this would happen. I talked about what might happen. His joy in us and his joy complete. Let's talk about this over here. I have told you this. The content of the this gives us the clue to experiencing his joy in us and striving towards complete you. The focus is on two things. I tried to separate them to talk about them individually, love and remaining, but the text just doesn't allow me to do that. Experiencing the love of God overlaps with remaining in him. Extending the love of Jesus requires remaining in him, the vine. Remaining in him reminds us of his great love, and remaining in Jesus produces his love in us to others. What? You can't separate it. You can't love like Jesus without remaining in Jesus. You can't remain in Jesus without loving others like Jesus. Yeah, that's it. There it is. Love from the Father. Jesus, I got love from the Father. He passed it on to his disciples. He's asking the disciples to pass them on to them. Remaining in the Father, Jesus remained in the Father's love. He's asking the disciples to remain in his love, and the disciples need to remain with each other so that they can continue to do these things together. Whew. All right. To experience joy every day, I want you to think about God's love for you. How do you do that? I don't do that. Well, I want you to do that. Think about God's love for you. This music might help you, right? Music might help you with that. Scripture helps you. Memory verse reminds you of that. Being intentional about it. Remember that God loves you. Jesus came to us to bring heaven to us. Jesus died in your place. Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father. He's preparing a place for you. And Jesus sent his Holy Spirit. Know every day that you are loved by God. Remain connected. Any of you have college friends, those who are out of college, that you still connect with? Are you good at that? Are you good at writing letters to encourage people, right? Connecting through a pen pal kind of ministry? I mentioned that in some way in this morning as they gave me a card. Like, you're really good at connecting in this way. Remain connected. Are you good at connecting with God? Remain connected to God. Pray to him. Talk with him. Think about him. I told you a week or so ago about creation, right? It's still screaming like, wow, what an awesome creator, right? Connect to God in your thoughts, in your actions. Know that you're a love. Remain connected. And Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. So Jesus now takes it a step further and says, you can't say you love me and not do what I command you to do. That's just lip service love. He says, there's no greater love to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, that convicted me so much because I sometimes think of joy defined in my situation, like this is where I think I would be content and happy if these things happened. And right away, the emphasis is wrong because it's me-centered. Jesus says, this is where it's at. Lay down your life for your friends. Think more about how you can serve your wife in the way that she needs served, husbands. This is Christ's love to the church. It's not saying, wife, do what I want you to do. Daggone. Wives, respect your husbands. Love your enemies. Serve the people that are around you. And this is where the power of joy is that I think we're missing. Instead of thinking about me and what my needs are in this, I focus more on serving others. That's countercultural. We need the Holy Spirit in us to do that. Jesus says, this is it. Keep my commands, remain my love. Love each other as I've loved you. Greater love to lay down one's life for one's friends. What works against this? Overly focusing on the world, neglecting relationship with God. We're too busy to focus on God. You're going to miss out on God and his fruit. Sinful actions. Sinful actions. God doesn't participate in sin. That impacts the relationship. He loves you through it, right? You can't just like sin your way out of his love. but it impacts the relationship. Self-sufficiency. Don't need God. I can do this myself. Or worldly efforts to produce joy. They all get in the way of this process of experiencing joy. There's more to say about this, which we're going to get to, and I gave you a lot today. Thank you for listening to me. Okay? I'm going to end. I think we'll just end with this real quick reminder of joy. So if you want to stand up with me, it's 10 after. We'll sing some songs. They won't be on the board, so you're just going to have to work with me, okay? I think you can catch up with this. Joy. Joy to the world, the Lord. Sing it out. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him, and heaven and nature. And heaven. New song, ready? I've got the joy, 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 joy. Come on, sing it out. Down in my, I've got the joy. Down in my heart, down. And I'm so happy. Come on, so merry. I have the love of Jesus. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love in my heart. I just want to edit that last song a little bit. Instead of saying I'm so happy, yeah, I'm so joyful. Yeah, I'm very joyful. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so joyful, so very joyful. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Oh, Lord, thank you. Jesus, thank you for your word. Your word is convicting. Your word is true. And Lord, we desire to have more of you in us. Produce your fruit of joy in us this week, today. Lord, no matter what comes, help us to remain in you, to think about you and your love for us, that we might face this world, Lord, not being overwhelmed, not being in despair, not being in misery, Lord, but joyful. And I know that doesn't always mean singing and clapping and everything, but joy, Lord, is powerful, and we need your presence to do it. So thanks. Work among us today, Lord, and may be glorified as we continue to worship you through this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.